Revelation chapter 2. Just mention this morning a couple of things I didn't when I made the announcements. Number one, the author of that book is Dick McClellan, not Dick Meldrum. My wife was gracious enough to point that out to me. The book hasn't changed, the name hasn't changed, just me. But also just encourage you to pray for the Buren family. Pastor Buren, he's the pastor at Northside Baptist Church. And their 15-year-old son Nathan has been on Thursday this week diagnosed with acute leukemia, and his kidneys are not coping as well, so he's been on some dialysis, and he started chemo treatment. They got straight onto it, I think it was Friday or Saturday. So I'm sure they'd appreciate us praying for them. Difficult time for them to work their way through, and so if you could pray for them, their son's name is Nathan, and so just please pray for them. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast laboured, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather around the Word of God once again. Father, thank you for the singing this morning. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your goodness. Father, we'll just pause to a moment to think of the Buren family, and Lord, for Brother Buren, his wife, and the rest of the family, and Nathan. Father, pray that through this a difficult time, this difficult test and trial which they're faced with right now, Lord, that you might make yourself known to them in a special way, Lord. I pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep their hearts and minds. I pray, dear Father, that great grace would be upon them. And Lord, that through this, you would do that work of refining which only you know about, and Lord, that you would grant them opportunities, Lord, too, to have a sweet testimony before others, particularly the unsaved world, that Father might be those who'd been drawn to the Saviour through their testimony. And so we commend them to you, we thank you for them, and Lord, look forward to hearing what you're going to do. But Lord, now as we would turn our attention to your word, I pray that you would grant to us eyes to see, ears to hear that which the Spirit of God has for each one of us this morning. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This particular passage in the book of Revelation, over the years I've preached from here a number of times, and it's always a challenge to my own heart. I trust it is to you. There's a danger sometimes we get to know the verses so well that we stop knowing what they're really all about. One of the reasons why I think this is a very important passage, in verse 4 particularly, where the Lord says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. My experience over the years is that Christians who are in a first love relationship are very easy to deal with. They don't get all tough, they don't get all rebellious, they don't get all cranky, they don't get out of sorts. They're in a first love relationship, and so when it comes to the things of God and and spiritual truths. There's nothing too hard, nothing too difficult. It's, yes, Lord, what would you have me do? They're just in that first love relationship. It takes care of a lot of other things. It really does. If you're in a first love relationship with the Lord, then a lot of other things, they seem insignificant. They don't seem to be so difficult. It's when we're not in that first love relationship that things start to get tough and things get hard. And the other reason why I believe it's an important truth is because we can look good on the outside, but still not what we ought to be. And the church at Ephesus was in that situation. The Lord Jesus commended them greatly for what they'd been doing. He said, I know thy works and thy labour and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast laboured, hast not fainted. The Lord says, listen, you've got some tremendous characteristics, some tremendous qualities here. You've been busy labouring for me, and you've been diligent. You've dealt with sin, and you've dealt with some false teachers, and you've we would expect that the Lord would say, well, that's it, put a full stop there and just move on. And yet the Lord could say to him, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And sometimes you and I, we know what to say, we know when to smile and when to, kind of look right and how to part our hair right and all that kind of stuff. And we can look all right on the outside. And this church looked all right on the outside, but the Lord said there's an internal problem here that this church has, and they've left their first love. They're no longer in that fresh, vibrant relationship with the Lord. They're diligent, they're busy, they're working, they're labouring, they're dealing. There was some, the Lord said, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He said there were some false teachers came into the church. The Apostle Paul warned the elders in the book of Acts, we read that. He warned them and said, listen, they'll come in amongst you, there'll be some wolves, and they'll be ravening wolves, and they'll want to cause damage to the flock and to the sheep in the flock there, and they want to damage the church, and they want to do some things. And now we find that they'd obviously responded to Paul's challenge, because the Lord commends them, because they've dealt with people like that. And yet, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I wonder this morning, what about you? What about me? Are we in a, we'll call it a first love relationship with the Lord? Do we see life as an adventure, the opportunity each day to walk with God, and the opportunity to see God do something in our lives, in the lives of others? Or is life just kind of a bit of a grind? We're kind of one foot after the other. And do we see God's hand in our life? Do we see God doing things in our lives and in other people's lives? Are we looking forward to what God has for us? I wonder what God has for us even today. I wonder what new things will come today from the hand of God. I wonder what new things will come tomorrow. I wonder what will come next week. We don't know what it could be. The Burens didn't know a week ago that they would be facing what they're facing. You say, well, I wouldn't look forward to that. I wouldn't really look forward to that either. But one thing I do know is that God is on the throne, and God doesn't make any mistakes, and the Word of God still stands, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And somehow God will work great good. Ask Brother Glenn what's happened up in Rockhampton, and how God's used that flood situation. Terrible disaster. And yet many, many opportunities have flowed from that. Do we look forward to what God has for us? Are we thanking God and praising God for what he's doing in our lives now? We say, Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, there's some hard times. There's some difficult decisions. There's some pressures, but I thank you that you've allowed them. I thank you that you've allowed them, Lord. This has not taken you by surprise. This is not something that we're going to have to sit around and wait for God to come up with an answer for. Lord said, nevertheless, I've got somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And you think about a young couple and how they respond to one another. they've met recently and they're in love. I mean, it's all go, isn't it? Just they're in love all I want to do is just get on the phone and talk and yap for hours and hours. It just goes on and on and on. And you wonder, what are they talking about? What could they find to talk about? They've been talking for 3 hours. You know, surely they must be running out of things to say by now. And goes on and on and on. And then you think, well, that'll be good. They won't need to talk to them for about another week. But an hour later, the phone goes, hello, oh, is that you? And it's in some ways it's pitiful, but they just want to talk for hours. Just want to be with them, just want to be there, you know, just want to look at them. First love situation. I noticed at our house when we had a visitor come. My daughter would make sure he's going to be coming. He's going to be coming. Now we've got to go around, make sure the house is clean. Hey, come on, we've got to vacuum this. We've got to put that in place. Make sure here, put those away. Get this. What are we doing all this for? He's coming. He's going to be here. Who cares? Hey, but when you're in love, you've got to impress. It's got to look good. Everything's got to be right. Yes, how good's this? And you know what we're talking about. It's that vibrant, fresh, first love that a young man, a young lady have for one another. And that's the sort of thing that the Lord wants us to have. That first love, that vibrancy, that joy, happiness, as it were, in the Lord. And sometimes, you know, we move away from that and we don't even realize we're doing it. If we're not careful, we can move away. This church didn't even know that they'd moved from their first love relationship. Guaranteed, if you'd asked them. If you'd even checked with the pastor there, he probably would have said, boy, things are going good. You know, we've got our tests, we've got our trials, but we just had to deal with some false teachers, but we've been labouring, we've been door knocking and letterboxing, and there's been some new people in the church, and boy, things are going good. And that would have been all true, but the Lord says to me, yeah, that's all true, but I have a problem with you. You've left your first love. Some of the indicators of that is, the first one I think is, because he talks later about dealing with it and getting back the first works, one of the indicators that we're not in a first love relationship, that we're not looking for opportunities to share the gospel with other people. If you find yourself in a position where you're really not looking for an opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord, then you need to maybe just stop for a minute and ask yourself the question, why not? Why not? I mean, I was talking to someone recently. I think the only reason why God's left us here, and there are reasons, but I think the major reason is because the Lord wants us to tell others the gospel. You see, if he wanted to perfect us, he could, the moment we got saved, he could go like that, take us straight to heaven and we'd be perfect. He could do that very quickly. And so, yes, he is perfecting us in our daily walk with him, and he's wanting us to do various things. There's a whole lot of things come into that, but I think primarily number one is that he wants us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to tell others how they can become believers. That was to share the gospel. Remember what he said, preach the gospel to every creature. And so if you're not praying at least occasionally and saying, Lord, I pray you would give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. I pray you would help me to witness to someone. Help me to give someone at least a leaflet to read, Lord. If we're not doing that, then we really need to start to question ourselves. Am I really where I ought to be? Because I don't know about you, but I've noticed that when people get saved, initially there's this desire to tell someone. And when I got saved, I had a desire to, I didn't know what I was going to tell them, but I just knew I wanted to tell them something. And then I didn't know whether to talk because I thought I don't want to mess it up. But there was a desire there to tell someone. And And the Lord has kept that desire in my heart to tell people about the Lord Jesus, how they can be saved. And there's nothing more exciting in this life, and you can take all your bungee jumps and everything else, there's nothing more exciting than when you can sit down with an unsaved person and go through the gospel with them and show them the words of life and show them how they can be saved and show them how they can be ready for heaven. The only thing better than that is when they do get saved. But what a blessing and a privilege to share the gospel. And so if we're not looking for those opportunities, if we're not desiring those opportunities, that it may be that we've left our first love. It may also be we're not even saved. There may be a facade of Christianity. And so that's one of the indicators. Another one is when we start to go soft on sin. You say, what do you mean? I mean, for example, we gloss over little white lies. Oh, well, it's only a little one. It's a white one. It's not a black one. What's wrong with white ones? Well, a lie is a lie. That's it. And the Bible says we are to speak truth, every man with his neighbour. Truth, not half-truths or exaggerations or anything else, but truth. And so if you find yourself getting a little soft on sin, then it may be you've left your first love. You see, because when you're in that first love relationship, part of that is you just want to please the Lord. You don't want to do anything that's going to offend him, because you don't want to interrupt that relationship you have with him. And you know that sin separates you from God. And so you're going to be hard on yourself, and you're going to be hard on sin in your life, because you know that's going to offend the Lord, and you don't want to do that. I mean, you look at young couples, when they're together, man, they overlook a whole bunch of things, don't they? But they don't try and deliberately do something that's going to offend the other person. I mean, they're on their best behavior. They're all smiles and all glowing, and they want to just, you know, everything's got to be right. Well, so it ought to be with us, with the Lord. And maybe one of the other things that can be an indicator is we start doing things because we have to. Well, you know, you've got to read your Bible. Pastor says you've got to read your Bible. Oh, well, you've got to be in church. Pastor says you've got to be in church. And we're doing those things. And we're like the church at Ephesus. They were doing those things, but it was no longer out of this love for the Lord and desire to please the Lord. And so there's some things that can happen. So what causes that? Well, one of the things is that someone or something else begins to take number one place in our life. Someone or something else. You have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we find a man who had been with the Apostle Paul, no doubt labouring with him. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, a man called Demas. The Bible says of this man, "For Demas hath forsaken me." Notice what Paul goes on to say. Having loved this present world. Having loved this present world. Now he should be loving the Lord, not loving this present world. You say, what does that mean? I don't know all that meant for Demas, but the Bible says, having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Paul said, this man Demas, who was with us and laboring with us, has now departed and gone to Thessalonica. Why? Because he had a love for this present world. And you take some time to read about Thessalonica and all those other idolatrous cities, you can understand something of what was behind that. And you and I are in great danger of loving this present world. I believe it's one of the greatest dangers that the church faces, is a love for the world and the things that are in the world. It's one of the greatest dangers we face, because we are constantly bombarded with the attractiveness of the world. And the possibilities are unlimited. My wife said she saw kind of a film clip or something or other, which was a cartoon in Repco yesterday. And I can't remember all it was about, but here were these children all running around in these cartoon characters with mobile phones. Little children. What's the world saying? The world's saying, everybody, little children, you need a mobile phone. Tell dad and mum you need a mobile phone. You might only be five, but that's okay. You need a mobile phone. Everybody needs them. And you know, you say, what's wrong with mobile phones? I could tell you more what's right with them very briefly. What's wrong could take me quite a while. What's right with them? You can use them to ring people. Amen? End of story. What's wrong with them? Oh, many of the attachments is what's wrong with them. Many of the things that you can use on them is what's wrong with them. You say, are they wrong in and of themselves? No. But what they lead to is wrong. And the danger is that the world is so attractive and so powerful and alluring that if we're not careful, we can love this present world. We're laying up treasures on earth, not in heaven. And so we need to be careful of that. If that happens, we can still be in church, we can still look good on the outside, as the Ephesians did, but it'll cause us to lose our first love. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. You have a look in 3 John, book of Revelation, and then back to the left a couple of pages to 3 John. Just a small epistle there with 14 verses, just one chapter. In 3 John, we find another man here. He has a love as well. Notice his love. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, notice what John says, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth this not. Here's a man who loved the preeminence. In other words, he wanted to be seen as the man in the church. He wanted everybody to look to him. He wanted to have the preeminence, the first place. Look at me, everybody. I'm Diotrephes. You need to come and talk to me. And John says he loveth to have the preeminence. Now be careful, the Lord Jesus said, beware when all men shall speak well of you. Now we all want to be popular. We all want people to admire us. We all want people to look up to us. But be careful that we don't love that. Love the praise of men. That's a very real danger for all of us. We need to be careful about that. And there's something within us that we want to be recognized. We want to be popular. But it can lead us away from the Lord. Diotrephes. Notice what John said of him in verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. John said, he's not an impressive fellow. He thought he was. And he loved to have the preeminence. He loved to be the center of attention. No, who ought to be the center of attention? The Lord Jesus. That in all things he might have, Paul said, the preeminence. That he might have the preeminence. Not us. John the Baptist said that he might increase and that I must decrease. He is to have the preeminence. And that's a difficult one for us. We want this recognition. We want this popularity. But it's the Lord who should have it. So that's one thing that causes, or a couple of things that can cause us to move away from our first love. And then just straight busyness can be a problem. Have a look in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In verse 40, God's word says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Cumbered about. The idea of the word cumbered is she was drawn away. Now, where was Mary? Mary was seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus, but Martha was drawn away from that. She was cumbered, drawn away from sitting with her sister. What was she cumbered about? Why was she drawn away? Someone has to get the meal ready. Someone has to do this. Busy, 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 busy. And someone has to get the meal ready. And someone has to do that. But the Lord Jesus is to have first place. Mary was commended. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're very busy, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Here's an opportunity. He comes, the Lord Jesus, visiting this village, and more than that, he's visiting their house. What an opportunity. Who cares whether the house is clean for the moment? It's too late now. Let's just sit down and soak it up while the Lord's there. Let's just enjoy him as long as we have him, because he won't be here for too long. He's no doubt going to be preaching in some other village or something else. But let's make the most of this opportunity. Mary did that. One thing was needful, but Martha, she's busy. Busy, 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 busy. Busy, busy, busy. Got to do this. Make sure the cutlery's polished. Make sure is the oven on? Yes. Is it the right temperature? It's not burning, is it? No, it's all good. Busy, 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 busy. And the Lord's there. Imagine. She could have at least said, Lord, look, someone has to get the meal. Is it all right if we get it, or would you like me to sit here for a while? What? But no, she was cumbered about, just burdened down, troubled with this, drawn away from where she should have been. And you and I can get busy. We can get busy, 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 and life is busy, busy, busy. There's no question about that. But it's really only as busy as we allow it to be. It's as busy as we're allowed to be. When life is so busy that we don't have time to read the Word of God each day, we're too busy. We're too busy. You say, you think it's that important. And I know I get on this a little bit from time to time, but it is so important. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now think about it. He said in Matthew 6, pray what? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if daily bread is that important that the Lord said we ought to pray for it daily, and if we can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, then surely the word of God essentially is more important than bread for the physical. And if we should pray daily for the physical, ought we not to pray daily for the spiritual? Every word that proceedeth. Now, I'm not saying in that, and the Lord Jesus wasn't saying you need to read the whole Bible every day. But when we're so busy that we haven't got time to sit down, and not just sit down and go, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine, and then he went and he sat down to meet, and when the Pharisees saw it and marveled that he had it first, Lord, thank you for your word, see you later, I'm busy. So hang on, imagine that. Young man walks up to the door, hello, I'm here today, but I've got to be there, see you later. And the young lady goes, what in the world's wrong with him? No, he comes in, he sits down, and he looks at her. She looks at him. Oh, how you going? Yeah, good. And on it goes, all the dribble that goes with it. But but they take some time, don't they? They don't rush about. You've got to tell them, hey, you've had long enough. You've been on the phone 3 hours. Come on, that's enough, isn't it? At least for the next couple of hours. Time. Oh, boy, they find time. And yet we get so busy that we haven't got time for the one who should have the preeminence. The one who should have the preeminence. And if we're not careful, we can be like Martha. We get cumbered about. With busy, I've got work here, and I've got this job, and I've got that. I've got a list of jobs, and it kind of fluctuates at home. My wife reminds me of some of them occasionally. I try and get to them, but I don't get to all of them when she likes, and it's just one of those stories. You know, you've got to work it out. But But I've worked it out that I'm never going to get all those jobs done in one day. Maybe not in 1 week or 1 month. But one thing I have determined, that I will spend some time with the Lord every day. I will read God's word every day. And sometimes it's not real early in the morning. Sometimes it's the middle or late afternoon or something like that. But I determine I will do it. I'm always, if someone rings and I'm in the middle of it, depending on what it is, I can deal with that. But I determine I will daily read the scriptures. I will do it. I will do it. By the grace of God, I will do it. Why? Because if I have to pray daily for physical food, then how much more do I need spiritual food each day? Amen? We need to do that. And so if we get busy, we're like Martha, we get cumbered about, and then we wonder why we get defeated, and we wonder why our walk isn't blessed to the Lord, and we wonder why we're struggling, and we wonder why things aren't working out. The Lord says it's very simple. You're like Martha, you're cumbered about, you're troubled and careful, but not like Mary. She's sitting there saying, boy, how good is this? The Lord's here. What a blessing. Lord, what have you got for us today? What are you going to teach us today? Lord, what can we learn today? Lord, this is exciting that you're here. I think Martha was excited that the Lord was there. But where was she? Busy, 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 busy. Be careful of busyness. Be careful of it. Because busyness leads to lack of communication. Haven't got time to talk now. I'll call you later, you know. Someone or something else. Busyness. All those things can come in. There's a whole range of things we could look at. But for time's sake, we won't this morning. But think about it. You say, what's the remedy? Well, the Lord Jesus gave us the remedy in Revelation chapter 2, as we go back where we read early on. Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus doesn't just point out the problem. He points out the solution to the problem. In Revelation chapter 2, remember verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, here's how you deal with that. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. The Lord says, remember, go back to the time when you were in that first love relationship. Go back to then. Remember. Go back to then. Remember that. That's what he says to us. If you're not enjoying a first love relationship with the Lord, whether it be because of busyness, whether because of someone or something else in your life, whatever it is, then remember back to when that wasn't the case. Remember back when it was a joy and an exciting thing to want to tell others about the Lord. Remember back when you knew that was sin and I've got to deal with it. Remember back when you didn't do things just because you had to, because you wanted to. Boy, I'm glad Sunday comes around quickly. I just look forward to being there with God's people and look forward to the singing and look forward to the fellowship. Oh, I can't hope Sunday comes tomorrow, you know, that sort of thing. You get used to that. Heaven's going to be like that. But we don't do it because we have to. The Lord says, remember back when you weren't like that. Remember back when those things were exciting and a joy and a blessing in your life. He says, then repent and say, Lord, that's where I used to be. I've gotten away from that, whether I did it deliberately or whether it slowly crept in and I've just kind of got away. But Lord, I remember back when that wasn't the case and I repent of that. Lord, I acknowledge I have moved from where I should be. I've got some things in place. I'm looking good and sounding good, but I've left my first love, and now I remember where I've come from, and now I repent of that. And he says, and do the first works. He said, now you've done that, get out and do it. Go out and tell someone. You know, as we all leave here today, we ought to go with one thought at least in our mind. I wonder who the next person is that God's going to give me the opportunity to talk to about himself. That's how it ought to be. Lord, I want to be in that first love relationship, and I'm looking forward to the opportunities you're going to come this week to share the gospel with someone. Or if not the gospel, at least give them a tract. Or if not give them a tract, at least say God loves you or do something as a witness for the Lord. Remember, repent, and now go and do what you ought to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the Word of God. We thank you, Spirit of God, that through the Word you speak to our hearts and you teach us. The Lord Jesus said the Spirit of God would be our teacher, would guide and lead us into all truth. The truth of the matter is, Lord, that sometimes we just get too busy. The truth of the matter is, Lord, sometimes we allow someone or something else to take up our time. Maybe it's we're like Demas, having loved this present world. Lord, what a danger that is for every one of us in this day and age we live in. Lord, guard us from that. Keep us from that. And Lord, some of us may be a little like Diotrephes. We just kind of like the preeminence. In fact, he more than liked it. John said he loved it. Something has come in. Someone has come in. Some agenda has come in and robbed him of that first love. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, that we would think about our own lives. Are we in that first love relationship? Remember, think about it. Remember, was there a time when I was more in love with the Lord? I was more zealous. I was more joyful. I was more excited. I was more keen to witness to people and serve the Lord. If there was, then repent of that which has taken place since then. And from this day, go out, Lord, that we might share those first works. Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us. Lord, I trust that we might each desire to be in that first love relationship with you. I pray, Lord, if there be any this morning, you've still not settled the issue of salvation. Lord, we haven't dwelt much upon that. But we have seen the Lord's Supper this morning, and that speaks very clearly of Christ's death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection and the need to trust him as Lord and Saviour to have eternal life. Lord, maybe someone this morning, they need to be saved. I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on them and you would, as it were, compel them to talk to someone this morning about salvation, that they might settle that matter. And for God's people, Lord, we might do any repenting that we need to do. And Lord, go from this place with a renewed desire, Lord, to love you and serve you. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.